Hi, Kushal. Am I audible to you?
Hi. Good to meet you. On like spaces at least. Hello everyone. Oh my gosh. Hi, Swati. Thanks, girl. Hello. So excited for everyone to join. We're a bit early, but feel free to like hang tight. Drop those emojis. Live your best. Grab your coffee.
Awesome. Just give us 5 minutes and we will kick off this show officially. Just hang on, guys. We will be starting this in next 5 minutes. So I just would like to ask, like, how's your day going, guys? And just if you could, guys, let us know where you guys from. Like, I just want to see building the audience. Like, yep, already a bunch of people have joined us. Big shout out to Fahad, Swati, Maestro. There's one lady with the name A. All right, okay, hey A. Soham, Haley from Light Extension. Thank you so much for joining us. And the guy or lady, I'm not sure. Mario. All right, awesome. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us today. And yep. You can, if there's so let me run down the quick process of the show. We like today's our special guest, Crystal, and I'm going to introduce him later in a few moments. So basically, we run a follow the template, which is like we as a host and the co-host ask the question from the speaker, right, the guest, and once we are done with the with our questions, we allow the audience to ask the question. And as you guys already seen, that was the topic of the was the topic of today's Twitter space. So it is about how to build communities in the B2B spaces. So looking forward to make it as much valuable as it as like we try our level best to make it as hard as we can. And right, so just give me a 2 minutes more, so I will jump in officially and we'll introduce our main speaker, and I will also introduce myself along with the co-host. So yeah, stick around, guys. So who's starting in next 2 minutes? Awesome. All right, it is right time to kick off. So, what's up, everybody? I just want to call you everybody champs because we are social champ, right? And I believe you already are familiar with my voice, if not. So this is Ashmal. I'm working as a community manager at Social Champ, and I'm really, really excited and glad to have Crystal. She's a community manager from Shopify, and really glad to see her work all around the social media networks. She's always helping everybody, whether it's e-commerce, whether it's social media, with everything around around her experiences. So, alongside with that, I have my co-host. He is my buddy. And hi, Tossi, what's up? How's your day going?
Hey Ashmal, thank you so much for having me over here today. Hello Crystal, hi. I hope your day is going absolutely wonderful. I'm doing perfectly fine. I'm really excited to be here. And I think we have a really nice show planned ahead. So I'm just extremely excited. I'll just hand it over to you.
Awesome. Thank you, Tawseef. And thank you so much, Christian, for joining us today. So let's get started with everything about you, because the whole session is the core around your experiences about you and everything you do for community. Right. So the first question is please tell us about yourself. You can go with it in detail. Everybody wants to know about yourself, anything that you would like to share with our audience. Please go ahead.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to be here. So I appreciate you having me talk. My name is Crystal Wu. I am a community manager over at Shopify for the shop team. And I lead the community space for businesses in like the e-commerce, mobile commerce kind of space. My previous work is I came from HubSpot and I was a social media community manager. So I worked in the social media space while also building out communities. So my experience really ranges from the social media space to private communities, B2B industry, and now working in the e-commerce space as well. I think a little bit more about me beyond just work is I really enjoy doing yoga. That's super random, but like just in case you wanted to get to know me a bit, I'm very active here on Twitter. Feel free to always reach out. I love skiing. I like hiking. I have a dog because dogs are amazing. And yeah, I feel like I'm in the community space because I've been doing community work since I was, gosh, probably like so young. And I never really understood like what that meant, but really to me, it was being able to find ways to bring people together around a very common interest. And I felt like, when I was very passionate about something, or I was very interested in doing like a hobby or an activity, or I found people who had similar interests, I would find ways to bring people together. And that's kind of how I've navigated into my career of community. Is I knew I worked really well being around people. Like I thrive off of connecting with others. And it kind of came up as a position of, okay, well, now how do I do this for a business? And how do I make relationships happen that can not only help build ongoing long-term relationships, but also like support the business in a way where it kind of helps their brand and helps build advocates. And that's kind of what I really enjoy most about communities, and that's how I found myself navigating my space in the community industry.
Absolutely splendid. Well, that's a really cool thing. I like about the dogs because I also love dogs. Previously, I was afraid with dogs, but lately I come to know that the dogs are the best friends just because they are so loyal to you. So I have like a few dogs around my street and I love to feed them. So it's really great and to have dogs, obviously. Another thing you mentioned about hiking, community building, talking with people. That's what I also love to do. On the other hand, I have we've like we both have a bunch of questions lined up for you. So Tosi, it's your time to take a floor for a moment and ask the question that you want to ask and yeah and just lead the show.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ashmal. Right. Hi, Crystal, again. It's really funny that you just mentioned that how you started really young and you just really loved, connecting with similar-minded people and bringing them together. Because I feel like every other community manager that I talk to really has started their journey, or at least they love their work because they've been on a similar journey as you. So that's really interesting. What I wanted to ask really is that, let's start with the what, right? So what really is, community, and what are the benefits around building a community, whether it be personal, whether it be around like businesses, well, especially around businesses because we are talking about B2B spaces. I would love to know a little bit more about that.
Yeah, of course. And I'm glad you're asking because community right now has been a term that's really hot in the industry, and it's very commonly thrown around of how businesses are like, we need community, we have to invest in community. But like, really, what is community? Like, why is it important? And community at the crux of it for business is really around bringing people together over an alignment of something. And that alignment is majority of the time, your business, whatever you're offering to your customers, to your future customers, or to even just like lurkers of your business. You're really trying to create engagement and you're trying to make sure you're putting customers first. Community is always about the others, it's not about yourself. And there's various degrees that you can have community opportunities with your business. It could be the one-to-one connection, like I like to call it. And that just means having individual conversations with your audience or your customer base and kind of figuring out what their needs are, why they're gravitated towards your brand, what their interests are. And then the one-to-many, which is instead of talking just directly to that one customer, that one audience member, you're talking to a larger group of people. This could be creating a space, a community space, whatever platform you decide to put it on, and really being able to get a larger, diverse set of opinions, insights, from that audience or that customer base. And then the last piece is like many to many, because with a business, your goal is to, you want to start a community because you want to start that conversation. You want to create that space where people feel welcomed, where they feel like they are part of something, where they feel like it's almost like this area has been missing from them, and you're that piece to that puzzle. Once you create that, and then you're building out your network of connections through this audience or this community, right? That's when you have the one to many. That's where you're starting to reach and spread out further and really connect. Not just you're helping one person, and then that person helps another person who helps another person. It's like the spider web effect. And really, your end goal is to get to that many to many type of community where it's you can take a step back and you can watch your community feed itself. You're having multiple community members engage, be active, answer questions, probe, gather insights, and support other majority of community members. And that's where it's like self-functioning on its own. And that's really what a community is. You do start small, but you grow into something where you've created this space that has filled a need for these for your audience of people that supports a united topic.
I honestly that just made sense. I'll just say that made sense because I mean, in recent times, there's been a lot of noise about creating like personalized relationships with your customers at least, so that you understand what they're saying. So you get valuable feedback from that as well. So that absolutely does make sense. Thank you so much for answering my question. I think I'll just hand the mic over back to Ashwin. Ashwin, you can take over.
Well, I just pick up one line that crossed my heart. It was about company is all about others, not yourself, right, Crystal?
Absolutely. Like when you think about community, it's about putting others first and you're not putting yourself first. Like you're not building something to create a space where you're the highlight. Like if that's the goal, for example, let's say you're a brand and you're trying to outshine yourself with this community that you're building, you're doing community wrong. That is not what community is about. What really it's about is a brand is creating the space for their audience to have this opportunity to build that trust, build that loyalty with each other, create returning customers, improve their experience, because what you're really trying to do is you're trying to be the ear to this community. You want to make the space, you want to allow them to have these conversations, make it safe. Safe is always important. And then take what you know from them. Listen to what your community is saying. What they're saying is raw feedback. Like, there's so many benefits. I'm sure we're going to get into it as we go, but there's just so many benefits to why a community is important for a business that when you think about community for a business and what it is, it's about the people first, and the business comes way, 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 way later.
Exactly. Business comes way, way than the than your audience and the customer. Absolutely right on the money, Crystal. So we already like we just scattered this talk about the customers and the audiences, right? So what are the key takeaways that the people listening right now should be considered like, all right, so we want to build a community for our B2B, like for our business to business, right? And whether they are working for any sort of company, maybe they can be there could be marketing agency or software agency who develops who assists the audience in terms of web development, e-commerce, and stuff like that, right? So in order to do that and in order to target those particular audience in terms of B2B, how they can like what are the steps, what are the procedures that they need to have in their mind before creating a B2B customer community. So is there anything like the step-by-step procedures or any steps or anything that you want to would like to share that everybody should keep in their minds?
Yes, absolutely. And I feel like this is very fresh for me because I work at Shopify and I've been there for 7 months. So I'm fairly new in the process of like building out a community. And these are the things I've had to consider. The first thing being is why? Why is there a need for a community? And that is so key because it's not why do you think there should be a community? It's why. What need are you feeling? What gap are you feeling that this community is supporting? Because if you're kind of sitting there saying like, "Oh, I think we need a community because everyone has a community. We need to, build our brand presence." That's not the right reason, and your community will probably take off but fail fast. You need to be able to find out what it is in the purpose of this community that you are creating space for. And this you can do this by talking to your customers and figuring out what their business problems are, what they're struggling with, and kind of when you get their feedback, put it together and determine like what's a commonality that you're seeing with them. Maybe, for example, they're having a really hard time. I don't know. I'm like, why can't I think? It's a brain fart for a moment. Be a customer, Crystal. Be a customer. All right, there's a common customer problem. Anyways, just put together the commonalities that you see with these customers, and really understand like, okay, how can we solve this problem for them? And if it can't be through a product or a tool or a resource, great. That's when you make one. That's when you insert community. If the problem really is they just don't feel like they have any identity to this brand, where they're like, I really like what you're doing, but I don't understand why you're doing it or where you're taking this company or why I want to buy from it. There's so many other products out there. Why would I choose your business? There's a reason right there for a community to create that unique opportunity for that community space. So once you've kind of understood like what that why is, the next thing you want to figure out is, okay, now you know you have a community understanding. You're like, here's what I'm going to build it out on. The next important piece is where are you going to build it? And I feel like this is like a hot topic because a lot of people have a lot of strong opinions, which is totally fair, on a lot of platforms. Sometimes you are very comfortable with one, you want to navigate to one, for example, like a Facebook group or Twitter or Slack or a forum. There's a lot of options. And my best advice that I have done when I'm building communities is I take the workload off of me. And I find out where these people are. That's literally about community. Meet them where they are. So, if majority of the customers or the audience I'm talking to, and I find out I'm actually finding them all on Twitter, or they're actually really not on social media, but they're in the workspace and they're using Slack, navigate to Slack, build the community where the community already is. It doesn't have to be perfect, like not 100% of them, but you don't want to create a new user habit where you're creating a community in a space, let's say on a forum, and majority of these folks aren't actually comfortable or used to going to a whole nother third party. You're forcing a new habit, which makes it really, really difficult for community adoption. So start off small. Like, you don't have to invest too big because you can always migrate communities later on. And that's like a whole separate thing. But start small, start where your community is. Once you kind of figure out where that platform is going to be, I think the best way to do a community is go 80% in. Don't go 100% in, because once you go 100% in, you're too late. If you can go 80% in, meaning 80% ready, you have the concept, you have the strategy, you have some kind of content built out of what you're going to discuss, ship it. Because what you're going to do within that 80% is you're more than halfway there. You're going to start out this community with conversations. You're going to get people joined in. You're going to get immediate feedback. And that feedback is that additional 20% to what makes your community 100%. You're never going to be at 100% on your own without the community influence. So I think it's really important that, let's say you now have a strategy, you have it. Let's hypothetically say it's on Slack for a second. You have your community on Slack. You have people joining. People that are joining, they might be asking you immediate questions of, oh, where do I find this resource? How do I connect with this person? I would like to see something more, like I would like to see more engagement here or activity here. Those are things to consider so you can help improve the experience. Sorry, my voice is going. And then the last thing is like recruiting for a community, which I think...
Yeah, Krisha, we can understand it. You can take a break and a glass of water, please.
Okay.
So yeah, Krisha was talking about how to build a community for B2B customers, specifically for B2B customers around. So she talked about like few quick points, which is about why it's really important to understand why are you building a community, right? And the second important thing is where are you building that particular community? It could be Slack, it could be Facebook groups and stuff like that. And all start with a small, but you know, I listened to this great motivation quote from Eric Thomas, and all right, Crystal is back. So I'm just giving the mic again to the Crystal. Crystal, you can take the floor.
It's all good. Thank you so much. Sorry, guys. I clearly haven't spoken that much today, so my voice is just losing it. But the last piece that I wanted to say in terms of how do you, like a tip to get your community off is like the recruitment piece of like, how do you know how to get members to join your community? And that can be the toughest part because you've created this niche and you're like, it's, you know, the value it can offer, but you're like, how do I find other folks who can benefit from this niche? One being is creating a target audience of who you're looking for this community. And referrals. So the first part, community targeting, really understand like who would be a good fit for this community based off of the interest, based off of like where it's located, the activity, whatever, if it's a private community, if it's a public community, whatever it may be. I've done it in a sense where I've done organic referring or like promotion of the community where I'll promote it on social media for the brand accounts. And if it's a public account, that's why I'm doing it on social media, mostly because I know it's public. It can be a lot larger, a lot quicker. If you are choosing to have a private community, sometimes promoting it on really large platforms like social media could attract an audience that might not be the best fit. And that's where I actually switched directly to referrals, where I might have found a handful of members who are like the core members for this community. They align with the values, they fit the niche of this community, and they're early advocates of the brand. They're already kind of excited because I've talked to my customer base, I've talked to other members who have had this interest. And what I want to do is I want to grow that more. So I'm going to talk to folks who already align with it. and I would find out if there's a way that, you know, if there's another customer or a friend that they know would be a good fit for this community, and slowly grow it through referrals until I know that this private community is going to become a much bigger space. In my experience, sometimes private communities usually are a bit smaller sometimes than public communities. If private communities are really large, that usually means, from what I've seen, is that it's a monetized community. So if you're going to be monetizing it, it's private because it's like an entry to get in. So it just depends on the type of community that you are looking for. And then the other piece going into that is the type of community. I've mentioned that there's private and that there's public. You have to know which one is going to be the best fit for your business. So let's say you're working on a brand account, you're going to build this community. If it's a public community, it basically means that you're creating a space where the engagement and the activity is going to be open to everyone. It's kind of like open source community. Anyone can see it, anyone can join it. And that's totally fine based off of whatever your strategy is. I've done many, many public communities. And I think it's a great way to build that brand awareness and get to know your audience and to get a lot of conversations really quickly. Sometimes for brands, that's super valuable. And the other take on it is private communities. If you decide to create a private community, they're a little bit different in the sense that not everyone's going to be joining. Folks who do join, sometimes that becomes like a roadblock to them because now that it's private, there is another step for them to take to join and get entry. So you want to consider that as well. The amount of steps it would take for someone to join, would it be worth it for this target audience that's going to be part of your community? There are absolutely pros and cons to both. When I managed a social media community, I kept mine public. And so it was open. Folks could join because the community was based off of really popular common topics around like social media marketing. So it was very like, you know, if you were in social media marketing, interested in it, have done it previously, it was very open to that. Currently, I do private communities where instead of creating them open to anyone, these private ones are really based off of referrals. And it's because my goal is to make sure I'm getting really early advocates in there so I can grow them into evangelists.
Super cool. Wow, that's what a lot of information, right? You just talk about public communities, you talk about private communities, you also talk about brand advocates. That's really exciting. And we are also working on it. I personally and my teammates are working on it. In order to build a effective community around B2B and other SaaS tools. So yeah, Tosif is holding a lot of questions right now. Just want to give the floor to him. Tosif, you can take the floor and ask the question that you have in your mind. So please go ahead.
Absolutely. All right. Krishna, honestly, I felt like I should have a pen and a paper because you were saying so many valid points that I should be just noting them down right now. But no, thank you so much for you said something at the very start of your answer. You mentioned that how even though if your business has a very nice, very unique selling point, a community could be something that puts it over the top for the consumer itself. Isn't that right?
Sorry, could you just repeat that piece? It kind of cut out on me. You said community.
Yeah, I was just saying that even though a product or a business has its own USP, community around that brand could just simply put it over the top for the consumer itself, right? That could be a unique selling point on its own.
Oh, absolutely. There is a lot of strategies now where businesses like startups are actually determining, is it better to create a community before even creating our product? Because if you create a community first, you're basically creating like customer loyalty that are invested in the journey of your product before the product even comes out. And then when the product comes out, it's like now you have product adoption from these loyalists that you have kind of built out. And now you're able to get even more like a better understanding of if the product is the right fit for the market, if it's going to be like the right tool for these users, what the gaps are, what needs fixing, what they could do better on, like early insights. The other side to it is, oh, go ahead.
No, go on, please.
Okay. The other side to it is if you, you know, you have your product come first, and while you have your product and you're building it out, that's when you're also building a community. If a brand decides to build out a community, like that to me tells that what that signals to me as a user or as a potential customer is that they're thinking about their customers first. They're not thinking about, you know, I want to be able to make the most money out of it. They're thinking, what can we do to create a space that we're going to help put our customers first and put them in the driver's seat so we can learn from them. And so brands that are taking that initiative to support community, whether it's through creating jobs for community, creating communities for their business, or creating spaces around the industry of it, that to me signals a lot more than just a brand. That signals to me that the brand is trying to be human. They're humanizing their brand.
That is, I completely agree with that. So just to reiterate and what you've just said recently about how more startups are, you know, starting to concentrate on building communities around their brands as well. So if you were to, you know, talk to these startups, talk to these entrepreneurs, what would you tell them? Like, what tools should they use in order to, you know, make this build community building process easier, and, you know, on different social media platforms, and how should they track that the performance of the communities? Like, it would be extremely helpful.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And oh my gosh, the tools. I feel like you could go down a rabbit hole spending thousands upon thousands of dollars in tools just for some data points. And it depends on your budget. So I'm going to give a slight range here depending on anyone's needs with creating a community. Let's say your budget's free, because realistically, when people start out in community, it's free. The first thing you need is like Google Sheets or Excel or whatever it may be. Start a spreadsheet where you're creating an itinerary of everyone who's part of your community. When did they join? Why did they join? You should be asking your community members, why did you join this community? Because it gives you an understanding of what do they expect from this community and how do they view the community. You might identify what it is, but really the community is going to identify what that community is. But create tabs to kind of figure out an understanding of all of your members, because again, you're starting small. That's the easiest way to kind of go through it. Why they joined, when they joined, how much engagement they have within the community, if they referred anyone to your community, if they're asking product questions, because this information you can also follow up on and keep tabs. This Excel sheet is your own type of CRM. And that's probably the most important piece, is you need some type of CRM where you can aggregate the information of your community members to keep track of activity, because keeping track of activity and being able to regurgitate information that the community member did maybe 3 months ago, that shows awareness. It shows, okay, you took note of what I asked or what my actions were or why I joined, and you're following up on it. It makes people feel special. And it's honestly like, think about it in the sense of like you building a relationship with a friend. You're going to remember that friend's birthday. You're going to remember the first time maybe you guys met or where you met or funny conversations that you have. It's very similar in that sense, where you're trying to create those unique moments that wouldn't happen elsewhere. And that's what makes it special. So back to the tools part. Now you have like this Excel sheet. The other tool would be, where are you hosting your community? That's your second tool, the platform you're putting the community on. Social media, could be a Twitter community, it could be a Facebook group, it could be a LinkedIn group, whatever it may be. There's also like Circle, there's also Slack, there is Koros, like there's so many other platforms you could have. So choose the platform you're going to be putting them on. And then comes time for reporting. And again, if we're in the free market here, the reporting is just going to have to be in like Google Sheets or Excel or whatever it may be. And with reporting, you just, depending on what your goal is, I don't want to tell you this is what you should report on. every community is different, and your basis as to why that community was built is different. But activity, I think, is probably one of the most key things, and some kind of rating that determines your community sentiment. And one way, for example, I do this is I will share out, like, how did you feel about this event that I hosted on a scale of 1 to 5? Or, how have you been feeling the last 3 months that you've been part of this community on a scale of 1 to 5? Kind of like an NPS rating, which is like a net promoter score. And just getting some kind of rating to gauge, is the community that you created meeting the expectations of the community members on why they joined? Is it providing them value? Because again, what you're doing eventually has to lead up to the business goals, and the business has to be able to justify more resourcing into it. So once you kind of have that like basis right there, and you can justify, like, we have 50 to 100 members in here, and we have an average score of 4.5. So members are actually getting a lot of value out of this. Now we want to get more resourcing part of this into the community. Great. What other tools could you use? Well, again, this also depends on the type of community. If you're doing a social media community, I really enjoy Buffer. I thought that was a really great tool. Agora Pulse is a really good one. Sprout Social is really good. Social Bakers is great. Social Bakers is like in depth, let me tell you. It's really good though. If you're doing a forum community like Koros has been really good. It's very robust. Notion is really good as well. A lot of folks love using that. There's a lot of good features on there. Again, it depends on the type of community. If anyone here in this chat is like, has a specific type of community, and you're like, where do I put them? Or like, what would be like the ideal place? Like, you hold on to that question and ask that for me, because it's so individualized. I don't want to generalize, like, this is where you should put it. That's the thing about community, is it's so, there's such a large range with it. It really depends on the specific needs and goals that's happening. So those are the kind of tools I would probably recommend to really start out with. And then as you like grow your community and you get a lot larger, that's when you start scaling out to all-in-one tools. You're gonna start with multiple tools in the beginning individually, and then as you get bigger, it'll kind of come together in one piece. But I would just say find a way to create your own CRM and then use a CRM later on when you have the investment for those resources.
That is really cool. I mean, you're talking about how you should create unique moments between the customer and the brand itself, and then just following up the audience, making them feel special. That's really amazing. All right, I'm just gonna hand it over to Ashmal again. I think he has a couple more questions for you.
Sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tosif, and thank you, Crystal, again for another amazing answer. I would like you to check out social media as well for community engagement and all those stuff, because this particular tool helps and to manage and automate all the social media posts on different social networks. I believe this is also one of the tools that helps a bunch of community members around across the globe and across different communities and across the different businesses, B2C, B2B, and like irrespective of different buyer personas. Yeah. So it would be great if you just give a look around the social media as well. So on the other hand, I really want to ask like a bunch of questions already, but let's do with the sequence. So if I want to ask if I want to hire somebody from community, right? I just want to hire a community executive for my brand, and I want that particular guy to promote in terms of product marketing as well, and create the noise and help the audiences. Because that's the core part of the community base, to answer all the queries, answer the communities, whatever they're asking. It could be technical, it could be non-technical, it depends on the product. So, what requirements and what skills set do I look for in the particular candidate that this should be the skill set one should qualify for the community executive? So is there any checklist in order to analyze the community risk for it, for any sort of in order to build a community specifically for B2B or something? So yeah, please, if you, yeah.
Yeah, I love this question. I'm so glad you gave me the opportunity to talk about it because community in itself, I don't think that you necessarily need to come from a background working in community or it has to be a very specific one track to get into this industry. I think that there's a lot of qualities from other skills and other roles that people might be in that can come into play to be in the community space. And I think some of those start really well with being able to have really good communication skills. Like you're communicating and you're engaging and interacting all the time, whether you are on the front line of community or behind doing community operations or you're doing community strategic initiatives as like a community leader. There's always going to be communication back and forth because you're either directly talking to the community themselves, you're recruiting into it, you're trying to promote or get like a broader understanding of the community internally at the company and really explain its value. And so being able to communicate, that's like probably the top one. Being really curious, I think, is another. Curiosity is really important with community as you build out what you're going to be creating for your strategy. The reason that curiosity is also important is because when you come to a community and you're kind of like coming up with an idea, like you're not putting your ideas on the table that it's going to be built for you. You're building for the other people. So kind of always having that mindset of what does everyone else might be thinking? Why would they be thinking the way that they're thinking? What are they interested in? What is this going to provide value for? What gap are we going to be continuing to fill for the business? Like always thinking about those steps, thinking about the others versus the needs for yourself or for your team directly, I think can be really important to help grow and shape a community. Empathy, I think if you work in the community space, like empathy is like huge. You're working with people, like it's being empathetic towards other people and their situations. Like sometimes there are occasions where, people have really bad days and they project it through a community and just know that like maybe you have side conversations with them to be like, hey, you seem a little off today. Is everything going okay? And just like checking in with them and or just kind of figuring out, why is the tone shifting in the community or why are people leaving it so suddenly? Like having a lot of empathy and understanding that can be really important to create a safe space for your community. Some other great skills, like, oh my gosh, if you can take data and interpret data into a story, sold. You are golden. Because with community, there's not as much validation in this role of why a business needs it, or how you're going to grow it and move it forward, or for leadership to really understand its purpose in the business. And so for if you can take the information that you are getting, which is not always as deep as other roles are or other areas in the company, but be able to take it and tell a story as to, maybe you're getting 60% engagement for an event that you hosted. Why is that so important? Why is that a massive insight? Or why is that not enough? What has your community contributed more to in other areas? And being able to tell that story, I think will help project your community like in so many ways and get you the funding, the resourcing, the support that you need at the business. Some other things I think that are really great are like patience. Patience is another one. Oh, patience. I don't know why I shouldn't have said this earlier. Now that I think about it, community is a slow burn, people. Okay. So if you're like, I'm thinking about community and I want to get it off the ground, and you think you're going to be like hitting those numbers in 30 days, you are sorely mistaken. I am so sorry. And if you do hit those numbers in 30 days, please call me. I would love to talk and I want to know your secrets. Thank you very much. Community is definitely the long game. There's so much planning and research that has to go into it before you even launch a community sometimes. You're looking at anywhere between 6 to 12 months. You're not looking at like getting this off the ground that quickly. So if your team comes to you and they're like, "Hey, we want to be able to build a community," you got to set those expectations early and upfront and be like, absolutely, here's the timeline that is expected to get this thing going. You will see success a year from now. Their jaws are going to drop because a lot of companies, usually like if you're in marketing and stuff, they want to see immediate results and you're not going to give them immediate results. And it's going to be frustrating for them, but you just have to know how to have that patience and know it will work out so long as you do what's best for the community, not what's best for the business. So patience is absolutely key. But I am dead serious. If anyone on this call has a secret for a 30-day community, you let me know. I want to know what it is. I'm sure it's out there. I haven't experienced it yet. It could be, but I want to know. So yeah, I would probably say like those skills are pretty like foundational for community. Writing, you're going to be writing a lot. If you don't like writing, that's another thing you probably don't want to do. You probably don't want to get into community. I actually didn't like writing, fun fact. I hated it. And then I got into community and I found out I've been writing all the time. And now I'm like, I guess it's not that bad. But you are writing all the time, which is fine. A lot of other roles are writing. Jeez, what else? What other skills are considered? I would love to know from y'all, like, when it's time to, like, open questions, like, what other skills do you think is needed for a community manager that you have either experienced yourself, you've seen other community managers have, or you just think like could be beneficial that community managers could be leveraging more and you haven't seen in the industry? Because I don't know everything, but these are some of my top skills I think could be important, but I would love to hear from everyone else.
Absolutely right. Krista, we would we all would like to hear from other people who have joined us today. So absolutely. I just want to add something here. So since you asked it, so communication is one of the major things that the company guy or company whiz need to have, really prominent and proficient, right? And the other important thing you talked about, empathy. So let me share you a quick experience that I've witnessed with WordPress community. And at the time of COVID, we saw a lot of people couldn't stable their business. It was startup, it was SMBs, and a lot of people writing down the different communities on Reddit, on Facebook groups, on Twitter, everywhere. And they were asked, tagging the different company that we are like, we couldn't pay you for the next month since our business is too like not going in, and we are having hard times. And that time, the skills of empathy rocks at the time. And the important thing, how you communicate with those particular audience to sustain, particularly the customers to sustain, and that in their hard times. So in order to do that, I saw what community did that. I see with other e-commerce platform like CMS, Magento did that. I already believe that Shopify did too as well. You can share your experience around the empathy at the time of COVID. And we saw that, right? So at the end of the session, we would like, this question is for everybody, and Krista has requested to, like, you guys can share the skill set that the community guy need to have it in order to build effective community around B2B, or like if you're working for another business, you can share your skill set or whatever you're working for and looking for, right? So let's move forward with a couple of more questions, right? And then after that, I will try my level best to give the floor to the audience, because we are running out of time. So because your information and things you are telling to the audience is so phenomenal, and it's like I can take this space from 1 hour to 2 hours. Like we couldn't stop, but we have to look for the time as well. So. And look after the questions as well. So just wanted to ask two quick questions straight away. Tosio, I know you have a lot of questions, but you can reach out to Chris privately and write down to her. And so, yeah. So how do you like get the benefits from brand advocates? And I have also witnessed that customers become the mavericks, right? And how to make the customer to the journey of Maverick. That's really important, because once a customer becomes Mavericks, they promote your product, And I know the brand advocates have a great niche, great I'm sorry, not niche, reach in their like in their community as well. If we talk about the tutor, they have like 8 to 10,000 followers, and like absolutely a stunning reach. In order to like, they have a great number of customers for their own brands, right? So how to convert the customer to the metrics and how to gain more brand advocates? Like, these two questions are like way more similar. It's up to you. Like, if you want to carry it to the single question, it's up to you. So I just want to ask like how to make the customer journey to the Mavericks. So it would be great if you can answer that particular thing for me, like if you want to. Yeah, please.
Yeah, so like how, just so I have the understanding, you're trying to figure out how do you take the customer through the metrics to kind of figure out how you can convert them to be part of the community versus being like just that customer.
Absolutely right. That's and we call them as the Mavericks.
Cool. Okay. So, man, it's not like a quick answer on that one, but it's you have to see them as like an investment. And sometimes your investments don't always pay off, and you have to go into it knowing that up front. And so sometimes this is why it's important to even have diversify your pool and have a large amount of investments, because not 100% is always going to become successful. And you do this by being consistent. That's probably the number one factor, consistency. Whether that's consistency on you sharing your content, you're sharing your brand voice and tone with this community or this audience, or you're constantly engaging with them. The consistency is what people see as their own investment of there's time being spent. They are willing to put the time and effort in, and they will likely deliver back on that. I think the second piece to it is that like one-on-one connection. That's how I usually start communities, is I always start small and I start with like 10 or less folks, and I build that one-to-one relationship where I'm engaging to figure out their needs, their wants, even like generally like what their interests are and like who they are as a person. Because when you build that relationship, there becomes this type of value, this like unspoken value of they know a little bit about me, I know a little bit about them, and that trust is beginning to build. And that trust is what's going to keep them in and then convert them not only to just a community member, but also likely those first 10 people that you're engaging with on that one-to-one basis will likely be your advocates early on, and they'll be your community promoters. Those are probably your most foundational members that you're going to have. Because you can't realistically have one-to-one conversations with your entire community. I mean, you could if you had the time and the resources for it, and realistically, it's really difficult. So that's building trust is another way to convert over. And I think the last piece is really filling that need. Like, if your community is filling the space that others haven't found that they have found that space for, you're already ahead of the game and compared to other communities. But if your community is the same thing as like 10 other communities and there's no differentiator there, it's going to be really hard to convert people over, because they're going to see right through that, where they're like, oh, it's just another one of those things that's going to consume my time, and I'm going to have to like, I don't know if I want to commit all of my energy to this. You have to give a reason as to or a differentiator or something unique that's going to bring people in. And that again could be your messaging, it could be your purpose for the community, it could be your tone in the community, it could be your design of the community. Maybe it's a design community. But you have to kind of have those different factors that will bring people in and convert them. Once you have them into your community, and now, like, you start them out as like literally just calling them community members. Like, how do you grow them into advocates? How do you grow them into evangelists? Because there's different varying levels and the way you scale it. When you have folks who are just as community members and you want to keep them and bring them over to advocates, this is where you start giving them like the keys to the house. not like all of them, but you allow them to be moderators. Maybe those 10 folks that you built those one-to-one relationships with in a community of 50 people that you have now, make them moderators. Let them have their opportunity to communicate with other members, maybe have some ownership around the community, have that sense of authority where they feel like, wow, I'm being trusted enough by this brand to be able to manage conversations, flag inappropriate content, add in members who I think are aligned in this community because I've been here from the beginning. I mean, that right there, you're going to fast track the way that you're going to build your advocates into evangelists. I know we don't have too much time, so I'll cut it there, but yeah.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Crystal, for the answers again. So yeah, I got your point, and I'm looking forward to create one of my customer, a moderator of my group, which I'm running at the moment on Facebook and Reddit. So yeah, looking forward to making it very soon. So now it's the time for our audience to ask a question. We will try our level best to be precise, and along when you ask the answer, when you ask the question, you need to come up with one skill set that you are looking for, or you're looking to build any as a community executive or the community with. So come up with that one thing as well. So it's time to request for the questions, and I will try my level best to embrace as maximum as we can. So yeah, please. I'm looking forward for the questions request. If anybody wants to start, don't be shy. Anyone can ask a question in our community. So I have. So we got one request. So Mario is here.
Can you hear me? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Hi, Crystal. Yeah, I actually followed. I found your Twitter profile a few months ago, and I followed it. And I was really just interested in community. And as someone who's in the startup world, I kind of wanted to build my own community before building a product and providing value, you know, to a community, the community people that I want to target, before even trying to sell them anything. So really, and if anybody else listening, the one thing I've learned doing all my research about communities. Provide as much resources to the community that you're trying to target before you ask for anything back. That's kind of like how you're building your eligibility, your credibility in a sense. That's something that I've seen, I guess, be really helpful. My one question I really want to ask you is like, how do you measure the health of a community? So just to give you a little bit of more insight, like what I'm going from this question is anyone can have like a community with like 2,000 people, but there's only 10 people really engaging every day or every week. So like, how should you, or how do you measure the health of a community? Like, is there software that can do that where like you can integrate with that to determine like, you know, it gives you analytics, like how many people are talking, or if a particular question is asked, is there a bunch of engagement? Is there something that can really help you with that? Or how do you measure it, the health of a community?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Also, great to meet you, Mario. Congrats on the business. And I appreciate you thinking about community first. Community health, there are some platforms. I've used Social Bakers, if that helps. I really enjoyed it because it gave me a vast outline in terms of like community sentiment, what the churn rate would look like, the activity, the engagement, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. You can also do that yourself if you don't have the opportunity to use like those type of resources. I think churn rate is like a huge factor. And that's one thing I measure, is because if I'm bringing on a lot of community members and I'm seeing a lot of them leave really quickly, it either means that we brought on the wrong folks to join this community, or it didn't meet their expectations immediately and something was wrong. To fix that or figure out what the problem was, is find those folks who churned and talk to them and be like, literally, why did you leave this community? What did it do not to meet your expectations? To figure out, did you make sure you created clear alignment as to why this community exists? The other thing I would do is do a comparison of total members of community to activity. You gave an example of like 2,000 members with 10 comments. If I saw that, I would be like, ooh, red flag. Mostly because to me, that could signal that the growth of the community was the goal, to have a large number of people there, but the activity and the engagement wasn't. I would rather be part of a community with 10 people and 10 people being active than be part of a community where there's 2,000 people and only 10 people are talking. Because it's very clear that to me that there was no purpose to have that engagement. The purpose was literally to show and tell. And you're not really telling, you're just showing. A way to combat, like if you have a really large community and only 10 folks are talking, find the other folks in those two, in that group of 2,000, randomize it, don't go all out, and figure out why aren't they engaging? Do they even remember joining this community? What is it about this community that you could be doing better that could bring them back into the conversation? And then talk to the 10 folks to be asking why they're engaging in the community, what it is that they're getting from it. And considering that only there's such a small group of folks having that conversation, why? What do they see? Do they build relationships with other community members and they're only like communicating with each other? So churn rate is really important, I think. Member growth is important, but member growth in alignment with engagement is key. Should always be key. You shouldn't, like, there should be a ratio. There's not a perfect one, but there should be a ratio where you want to have at least, in my opinion, at least 40% activity based off of the amount of total members you have in the community. If it's less than that, really need to reestablish why those people are members in your community. But great question.
Awesome. excuse me, sorry. I really hope that Mario got your answer. I'm really sorry that I have replaced you to become a listener again. I'm really sorry because we have tons of requests again. We have two more requests right now. All right, three more requests. So let's get with another request for the question. So, yep, then if you can go ahead and ask your question. I have a preview request. I believe you are become a speaker. You can ask your question.
Thank you. I hope I'm audible. Hello, Crystal. Thank you for having such a great space session. I'm really enjoying this one. So my quick question is that I'm a social media manager, and I have worked with managing a community as well some time back. And one thing that I have been trying to learn from this conversation as well is what it is like to have a consistency. For example, when you start with a community, initially you need to have a consistency of posting and to engage people and to interact with people so that people start jumping into a conversation with you, and there should be a learning. So is there some format of having a consistency of posts, consistency of the content that should be going in the community to interact with people, or to ask people to start interacting and engaging within each another? Is there something that could be, done? I don't know. So that would be great if you can share your experience on this thing. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And thank you so much for asking that question. And I'm glad this is helpful. When I create like a community strategy for social media, I make sure I have a content plan built out for at least 3 months, because I'm not going to be able to see enough activity until about 3 months in. And what that means is preparing questions that I would be asking in the community, blocking off time in my calendar for at least an hour a day, to dedicate that time to engagement in the community, whether that's reacting to it, answering questions, sharing and retweeting other community members' content, like anything that is reactive on your end, but also proactive on your end. So the reactive part is like the engagement, or sorry, the sharing and the liking, but the proactive piece is putting out the content to communicate. And regardless, like, so let's say you post something on social media and no one answers it, that's fine. That doesn't say anything about your community. It could be a fluke. Every day is different on social media. Like, we all know that when you work in social media. So you just have to keep trying. And that's why 3 months of consistency of you've already built out content. Another tip I like to do too is I like to make it a theme. So, like, for example, the first month might be themed around customer service or marketing or like a specific topic in social media. And it could be various questions around it, because then when I pull the data, I can determine, oh, was this content successful because of whatever this theme is and whatever this topic is, and did it resonate with my audience better versus like the next month's theme? That's kind of, so give it at least 3 months, but have 3 months content prepped for your community.
And thank you so much, Crystal. That does help me out. Thank you.
No problem.
All right, let's see. Let's wait for a few seconds, a few minutes more to just see that. Do we have an idea? Excuse me. Sorry. I think I'm the one who should. Like, Crystal is speaking like... Continuously, and I'm the one who needs the water. Sorry.
All right,
I'm back.
You can take a break. All right. Okay, I guess we have one more question. It's from Osama Azim. Osama, you have the floor.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Thanks, Crystal. Appreciate you taking the time out for this session. I got conscious that I joined a bit late, so I might have missed some points in the earlier parts of the talk. So apologies if I kind of repeat something that you've already covered. But yeah, for context, I work in M&A with a lot of fintechs and B2B software providers. So I suppose my question is not coming from the perspective of a social media executive or community executive, but more like when we're talking to businesses and how they drive growth, how would you communicate to important key stakeholders in a company when you need to convince them to increase resources allocated to community building? And what are some of the KPIs that you kind of measure or you convince them on the importance of community building, i.e. wins as part of that community, as in converting those community members into sales or using community as means for market research? So I'm just curious and keen to know, as it's increasing in its importance for software providers, how you kind of convince key stakeholders of its importance. So yeah, hopefully I didn't blabber too much and that was clear, but let me know. Happy to clarify. Thanks.
Thank you. No, I think that's a great question. And for context, I'm actually working in the community space specifically for businesses right now. I'm no longer doing it directly like for social media or for customers. So I think this is a really helpful question, because I'm also going through how do I take the results of this community that I'm working with for other businesses and showcase this to my leadership team to be like, there's value here. We need to expand the team. We need to be able to be doing more and investing in it. And so the first thing that I'm really finding out is direct feedback from the community is I found really important. And what I mean by that is when I'm having my either one-to-one interactions with these other brands, or I'm hosting events with them and they're directly sharing, oh, wow, this community is so valuable for me because I've been able to network with other businesses, or because I'm able to get insights from this company that I wouldn't have been able to get out like elsewhere. Those direct quotes are something that I literally take and I put it into a presentation and show this is feedback as to what the community says the value is. Let it speak for itself. Don't let me speak for it. The other thing I will do is, because I work with brands, is when I build the relationships with them and they're giving me that raw information in terms of how the community is beneficial, now I'm able to work with them in terms of like other marketing activations to kind of invite them to do, I don't know, like a campaign or something, or to do like a short like interview with another member of our team or something along those lines. And so I've basically spread the value just from like what the community holds into how this community can support other team initiatives. And that right there has become another piece for leadership to be like, okay, here is how the community is expanding into our organization versus just kind of like pigeonholed into one area of the company. So making sure that the work that I'm doing in my community I take these insights, I share them with other teams. Other teams can now benefit from the insights that I'm providing because I'm getting the direct information from these brands. Other teams don't always have the opportunity to talk to these other businesses in like this B2B space. So it's on me to kind of be the frontline person to say, here's what their business problems are. Here's where their needs lie. Here's what they're hoping to get from us. Here's what their opportunities lie that we could fill those gaps in. And honestly, just that alone, I don't think you need to go directly with them to be like, here's the amount of revenue our community is offering to this company. Because it's so rare we're going, like, communities are going to offer that. You have to be able to showcase it in ways that the community is branching out from the space that it's in, and it is now becoming reliant on other teams. You want product to come to you and be like, what are you hearing about in the community? How can we help our vision for the next quarter or the next year? How can we help our financial projections based off of what the community is seeing, what they like about our product, what they don't like about our product? How can we influence that? That's what I would probably go for.
Osama, I really hope that this answers your question, right? Just raise your hand if it does. Because I see you already requested again, so we have a bunch of things. All right, thank you so much. Got it. Perfect. So, Crystal, if you allow us to take two more questions.
Yeah, I have time.
All right, that's so kind of you. Thank you so much. I'm requesting, approving the request for Fahad. All right, Fahad, I have approved your request. You can ask your question. Fahad, you are on speaker and your microphone is muted. You can unmute yourself and ask your question.
All right. So, can you hear me now?
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. So, first of all, this is an amazing session and I'm enjoying it a lot. And my question is that, Crystal, I am also like a part of a social media community, but we have a few members in it, but it is very hard to drive engagement onto a social media post. Like, we have a lot of members, but they only engage on a certain posts that are related to like our product or company. Apart from it, the main thing that I want to ask is that we created a community around social media and we wanted to talk about things related to social media and marketing, but our members only engage on the posts that are related to our product, not posts related to other things on social media. So how I need to know that is there anything that I am or we are doing wrong, that anything that we are unable to identify?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking this question. It's a good question. You're basically wondering, you created a community for social media, you want to talk about social media, but everyone in the community only wants to talk about your product. And to me, that kind of speaks right there in terms of what the community wants. The community is being very vocal in terms of they actually want a community around the product. They don't seem that the community, the amount of members in your community, they don't seem to have an interest in social media. And so forcing that perspective or that interest on them, you might actually lose them. So this could be a really good opportunity to split a community, create a second community where you do have a community for the product, you meet their needs, because if you do that, you're essentially, like, that's where you're going to be creating, like, their loyalty, because now you've listened to them, you've seen the data that shows there's only activity and engagement around your product posts, and then creating a second community around social media, and making sure that when you bring members in for that, you're really targeting an audience that has an interest in social media versus just the product. And you might even have community members who will be part of both of them, where they kind of realize, oh, I actually did have an interest in social media, but now I also have a space that I can talk about the product. So it's giving them the opportunity to choose where they want to have those conversations, versus kind of forcing the communication around social media. My hesitation there would be you will lose a lot of community members or create resentment around it because you are choosing to have a topic based off of the needs of some other reason versus the needs of the community you built. And if for whatever reason, it's very, very firm that you have to have a community around social media, it's very possible that there needs to be a new expectation set for what this community is. Really just like creating a post from the owner of the community to say, hey, this is what the community is all about. Here's our values. Here's the purpose of it. I see a lot of activity around the product of it. So because of that, here's a form that we've created. If you have questions around our product or would like to give product feedback, please submit it there. But let's keep conversations to social media in this community and just keep up with the moderation of it. And if you don't see that happening, then that's whatever the community rules and guidelines you have, just kind of be firm with that. But it, absolutely expect that you will probably lose people in that community because of it. It just depends on the way you want to go. But good question.
Thank you. And I wanted to ask one more thing, that how should I go about picking some key players from my community to which I can like pass on the torch to put in their work and like grow the community?
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch that. You said something around you want to be able to pass the torch and grow it?
I was asking that how should I go and select some key players from within my community, and how should I pass on the torch to them that they should put in their contribution and grow the community?
Oh, being able to identify those key community members and find ways that they can help grow it on your behalf.
Yes.
Yeah. So these are going to be your early advocates if these are the people that you're choosing to do so. And this is where you set out guidelines of what are your expectations of these members. So let's say you have these three members and you're going to be passing the torch, so to speak. What does it mean to pass the torch? Does it mean you're giving them access to a certain amount of things within the community? Does it mean, go ahead.
Yes, I want to allow them a certain authority over my community. You said that you should give them the keys to your house.
Yep.
So I want to give them a certain a certain role where they are appreciated and they feel that they are being valued and they put in more efforts to getting more members into the community.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Say that to them. I think literally just directly communicating what you just said to me and telling them, acknowledge their efforts, acknowledge how valuable you see them as a member of your community and their importance, and then pass it over to them, give them that access. I think that right there will instill a lot of trust with them, but also build that relationship where, anyone wants to be able to feel like they've been acknowledged for their work. And if you're just going to communicate that with them and tell them straight up and then hand them that access, I think that's the direct and best way you can go about it. Another thing, instead, if you want to go the next level, instead of just messaging them, say hey, would you be interested in meeting for 15 minutes on a video chat? Because sometimes seeing a face is completely different, and having that conversation with them and come tell them, give them at least three points and be this is what really stood out to me as to why I think you're a golden community member and why I would love to give you more access and help you moderate our community because I think XYZ. That goes a long way.
Great. So I think I'll start. I have a few members in my mind, And I think I'll start with like getting in touch with them, like discussing or talking them over a video call. And I think I have an idea now on it, so I'll begin my work on it.
Yeah, good. Yeah, just get it started. I think you already kind of have the foundation, and I think it's just having that conversation. So good luck with it.
Great, thanks.
No problem. And I will say, I think I'm at this point, I'm at time. So if anyone has any further like questions or anything, feel free to just like tweet me directly. The Social Champ created a post about this Twitter space. So if you have any questions, feel free to just tweet on that post and ask the question directly there, and we can keep the conversation going. But at this time, unfortunately, I have to hop into another meeting. So I do have to sign off on this, but I appreciate both of you for hosting and co-hosting. It was fantastic. This was so much fun. And thank you everyone for asking questions. These were fantastic questions. I love talking about community. Do not hesitate to reach out. Feel free to chat. And best of luck if anyone starts building out a community.
Absolutely, Crystal. Thank you so much for being with us for a long time. It's been more than an hour. I would like to, you know, be with you more, like the audience wants to, because they have the questions and a bunch of other people too. Again, thank you so much for being kind to us. And I just want to say, I just want to ask one thing, one quick advice that you want to give to our audience. And then with your one advice, we are going to wrap up this session and we are going to sign out.
One advice, I would say, before build a community, join a community, because that's the best way you're going to understand how to run one, is being part of one and being a user to figure out what is it like to be part of something, for you to create something for others to be part of.
Awesome. So in order to build an effective community, you need to join the community first. And know the why. Start with a small, big dream, but start with a small. And go with the 80% formula that Crystal shared to us. And again, Crystal, thank you so much. Take good care of yourself. And thanks so much, everybody who joined us today. And we are going to make it another Twitter space at Champs Talk very soon with Crystal and everybody else. And I think we just need to wrap up this session. All right, Tosi, is there anything else that you want to ask, like to add to our audience, like anything?
Honestly, I think Crystal and you just really covered everything else. I was really happy to be a part of all of this. Thank you so much for having me, and I'm really excited to see what the blog is gonna say. I think good day to everyone.
Awesome. Great day. Like, have a great day ahead, or if it's the night time or for anybody of us. So good night. Take care of yourself. Stay safe, and bye. See you next time.